Hello and welcome to the Go Perform podcast. My name's Johnny. I'm one of the performance coaches here at Go Perform. Go Perform is now 6 years old, and we thought it would make an interesting episode to talk with one of the founders, Dan Buchanan. And for those that don't know, Dan is a sports rehabilitator here at Go Perform, as well as one of the directors. And he's normally on the other side of the mic asking all the questions, so it's good to have him on the other side for today's conversation. So firstly, Dan, tell us a bit about yourself. So just a bit of a background, kind of upbringing, family, anything you can think of, just go.
Wow. Born in 1982 in Reading. And yeah, had a really cool life so far, actually. Been quite lucky. When I was young, my parents took us to Pakistan to work with refugees, which was really cool, from Afghanistan. It was a bit like it is now, actually, a bit crazy, and lots of people displaced. And that was really cool because it kind of taught me about other cultures and about just what people need, and yeah, just caring for people, really. So I've always had this big interest in people ever since. Came back to Reading for most of my school, then went to University of Salford for university, did sports rehabilitation, came back and worked for an ice hockey team, professional ice hockey team called Bracknell Bees, which was a full-time job at the time, which was really immersive after university, like really hardcore, traveling all over the country and seeing some crazy injuries and contact stuff. And then a year later, the owner pulled the money out of the team, and I was in a situation where I had some friends that we'd been music with for several years, and we decided to be in a band. So for the next 5 years, we were like an indie band, and travelled around and did some gigs and released a couple of albums. And I kept my hand in with the sports rehab stuff. I did voluntary work for some football teams and stayed connected to Reading Football Club, who I'd done some stuff with at university as well. And that was really cool. And then 5 years later, band finished, managed to get a job at Reading Football Club, which was incredible. And yeah, that was kind of my route back into professional sport and working with people. And I've always just loved being on teams and with people. So I loved being in a band. I loved working for a football team. I love Go Perform. I just like people. So yeah, it's been quite a fun life so far.
For those who might not know, Dan, what is the name of the band, just in case anyone wants to have a little research?
We were called The Race. Yeah, we were just like an indie band doing what people did in the early noughties, and really enjoyed it. And like, we were, yeah, really proud of what we did. And we, a bit like now, we just worked hard and enjoyed being together and had a really good sense of purpose. And as a result, we had some fun.
And so you've got three kids, haven't you, Dan? Three kids, you've got a wife at home. Tell us about your kids.
They are nearly all teenagers. Well, no, 15, 13 and 11 coming up in a couple of weeks. So yeah, busy family life, and been married for about 17 years now as well. So yeah, love family, love being a dad and a husband. And that's probably one of the big kind of things that drives me, really, like trying to create. And part of Go Perform as well was just post football, which was quite tumultuous at times, where there wasn't guarantees of owners paying money or having a job from one season to the next. I think to have something that's sustainable, that supports families, is a really big thing for me.
Mm, yeah. And so your role here at Go Perform is quite varied. So you're a practitioner, you're the director, and you have your kind of role in a lot of different areas here. But tell us a bit about your practitioner role. So what do you do on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, so just help people overcome injury mainly. So sport rehabilitators is a little bit like a physio, but a bit different. And I'm probably more hands-on. So with Reading, I was a soft tissue therapist and did lots of treatment-based stuff with my hands and with my body. So I do lots of treatment-y type things, probably more than some of the others, but also do some rehab in the gym. And we all work as a multidisciplinary team. So we have different skills and things that we focus on to support people to get better.
And then as your role as director, so managing people, how does that go?
Yeah, so I see probably 10 to 14 patients a day, which is busy. And then in between that, I try and look after the team and look after the business mainly. So, yeah, it's pretty busy and lots of juggling of plates. And I spend a lot of my weekend doing the businessy type bits as well. So we're still trying to find that balance, really, of growing as a business, but also needing to work and be with people. And for me, I wouldn't want to just be in an office working, so I'm keen to be clinical for as much as possible. And then we have brilliant people that support us with our finances and our accounts and bookkeeping, all those kind of things as well. So we're kind of maturing as a business, and definitely, hopefully, for Luke and I in particular, it's becoming more about sharing the load now, which is really cool.
That's good. And just on that briefly, so how would you say Go Perform and the structure we've got here differs to what you're used to? So in professional sport, in Reading, in Bracknell Bees, and where you've worked before, how does your role and your kind of job as a practitioner differ to what you now do?
I guess the big thing is we work with a really broad variety of people. So, for example, working in a professional football team, you just work with young men mainly, which is brilliant, but quite one-dimensional at times. One of the things I love here is that we work with people of all ages, all sports, all backgrounds, all abilities. So on a daily basis, it's just really cool to meet people. And so we didn't, you know, we weren't involved in the running community and the triathlon community until we left working in football. And I used to sometimes be at training grounds and think, oh, if only anyone could access this. Like I felt like there was a big gap in the market in terms of physio clinics where there was loads of rooms with beds in and simple exercise prescription. And then gyms, which might not have the clinical knowledge or the kind of stuff around the sports medicine. So it feels really good to have put that together, those two things together, and for the public that anyone can access. And I think we're quite unique in the UK. I don't think there's many places like us that employ a team of people that look after hundreds of people a week. So yeah, it's very different. And it's kind of that thing of creating the job you want to work in and the vessel you want to work in as well. So I think for me, like, I think we're 6 years old and we're now up to about 19. We're going to have 20 staff after Christmas. And and that's really cool. And like, I'm really proud that we've created those jobs for people. And I love going to work every day with those people as well. So I loved being in the band because it was an intense thing with 5 or 6 people. I loved working in a football club because you get that depth of friendship and relationship that you wouldn't in a normal job. And I love working here because, yeah, like, people are doing stuff. Like, Georgie's getting married this weekend. So, like, you know, you get to know each other and you get to kind of journey with people. And for me, the quality of my life is defined by the quality of my relationships with people, more than money or kind of some of the other extrinsics that other people might go for. So in terms of values, that's what it's all about for me. I'm pretty happy.
Just a bit of an overview. So of GoPerform at the moment, as I said at the start, we're 6 years into GoPerform. We recently, just over a year now, we moved buildings into a larger facility. As Dan said, we've now gone from, I think it was 3 staff at the very beginning, to now 90, nearly 20 full and part-time staff. But just before that, Dan, so right before GoPerform got started, where were you first? Where were you? What were you doing? What was your job right before you started with GoPerform?
Yeah, so Luke and I left Reading Foot Club in 2015, and we spent the summer thinking about this idea of GoPerform. And we had this idea of a place. But practically, you know, we started working on it, but we had an agreement that if any jobs came up, we'd have to do what was right for our families. And Luke got a job at Norwich in about the August, maybe 2 or 3 months in. So we looked at some buildings, we talked to some people about investment, but this job came up and it was a really good job, so he went for it. And then I ended up working at Derby County, but I didn't want to travel up there. So I ended up just working 2 days a week. And I did a day for the English Institute of Sport at Bisham Abbey as well. So I had 2 days of my own where I set up a little clinic called GoPerform. So some people that were from back in the day would think GoPerform started even earlier. And that was just in the basement of a Pilates studio in Reading. And I would just see patients 2 days a week for a couple of years. And Luke and I would talk regularly about this idea of GoPerform. And then at the start of 2017, Luke said, look, I'm ready to kind of to leave Norwich now and to come back and let's give it a go. Let's see what we can do. So we started this building search. We looked at, I think, up to 30 buildings to try and find a warehouse that would enable us to use it. And actually, at the time, that was really hard to do.
Is it in Reading, these buildings?
Reading and Basingstoke, or this kind of area.
Yeah.
Amazing Stoke. And eventually, we found this place. And the director of the landlord, who you know as well, his dad was a physio. So he got the vision of like what we were trying to do and why we needed a warehouse for a rehab facility. And he was really kind and he said, look, if you can get planning permission from the council, then you've got my permission, which is amazing. So then was this process and I was doing a lot of the legwork with the application and it was trying to prove to the council that we could be in this place that was only supposed to be for industrial use. And we said, like, Reading's about people now. It's not about beer and bricks and bulbs, which it used to be. We work with people. And so we are serving industry. And eventually they gave us permission and we then had to find some money from investors to pay for everything. So that was another process. So it was a lot. It was about 6-7 months of absolute graft just to start the business, really. And then we felt that with all of that work that we'd done, that was the hardest part. And if we couldn't then get the business to work, then that was on us. So we started with 4 of us. And the first year, it was scary because, you know, we committed to wages and to spending money. And this was a new concept. We didn't know whether people would go with it or not. And thankfully, because we had good people and were completely committed to it. It just gently grew, really. And that's how I describe it. It kind of grows gently rather than aggressively. And we add staff as we go. And we have brilliant interns and university placement students that end up getting employed by us. And so, yeah, our strength is our team, I think. So we're in this state-of-the-art building with brilliant facilities, but that's just the shell of what we do, really. I think that the soul of it is the people.
So when you first started,
yeah,
what were you most worried about? So this is the first one. What were you most worried about? That's the first part of the question.
Worried's a funny word, isn't it? I think it's like anyone that has always been employed, and then to be an employer, that's huge, isn't it? So Luke and I were spending a lot of time on Google, like finding out about certain rules and policies and all that kind of stuff. That was a thing, and I remember I used to dream about it every single night. Like I couldn't, it was everything, like 7 days a week. And probably worried about filling the diary and like having enough people. Yeah, so that classic thing that lots of people can relate to.
And what was it like early days? So you said filling the diary. I know now your diary, Luke's diary,
yeah,
you follow it all the time, but what was it like early days?
It was pretty ones and twos, and we had some really great people that supported us as well. So some local business people that recommended their friends to us, and they've become really good customers. So we were lucky that we had a bit of a reputation and relationship with people in Reading. But it was that thing of, we used to always say, we have to go again. So you might have a good week, but next week the diary is empty. You have to go again. You have to go again and go again. And it's a bit like that now. When new staff come here now, they start off with empty diaries, and we know how to build that now, but it gets easier, I think, as you go on, more people hear about you. But it was tough, but good as well, really exciting.
Yeah.
And it went okay, and then we got to move buildings about a year ago into a bigger building. So we have a bigger boat to work out of now, which is really cool, and more staff to do stuff. And we'll see how it grows.
Yeah, on that. So you're initially, when you started, you would have had a business plan. Just talk me through the business plan. What were you kind of envisioning GoPerform to turn into when you first set it up?
Yeah, great. So we wanted to have a model that was scalable, definitely. Yeah, we had numbers in mind in terms of turnover. And we wanted to, so I guess the first year was like proof of concept. Is this a business? Does it work? And that was cool. And so now, as time's kind of gone on, it's like, can we fill the diaries? It's like having a barbershop with five chairs. Like, can you get all five chairs singing all day? It's that kind of idea, really. And I think even now at 6 years, we're thinking, what's next? I think we want to keep focusing on the product that we have here and not just look to franchise or expand. It might happen in the future, but we're not aggressively going for that, because our core value is the people that come here and looking after them really well. And I've seen lots of examples of other places where they're looking to just grow for the sake of the wallet of the person that owns the business. whereas we're in healthcare, and we want people to be, and that's the thing that drives us, I guess.
Yeah. And so is this where you thought GoPerform would be 6 years down the line? If you kind of rewind and picture yourself, you're Dan, you've just started GoPerform, you've just left your other job, you've just started, first day you've walked into the new building at Unit 22 on Robert Court Industrial Estate.
Yeah.
Would you have thought GoPerform would look like this 6 years down the line?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm this is where I'm different to Luke. So I can see things, and like, so even coming to this building, I was thinking about this building before we got permission to be in this building. So I'm quite good at kind of imagining what things could be. So I was confident we'd get there. I didn't know how long it would take. I'm really excited with the strength and conditioning and performance side, how that's grown and become such a thing. And I'm kind of more than ever, I'm convinced that there's a huge demand for the stuff that we're doing, which is really cool, and we're just touching the sides of, or just starting really on that journey. I think it does change, like, depending on who comes in the building as well. So new staff, so like you joining, Johnny, like, brings a different dimension that we wouldn't have known about until we met you, and I love that new people come along fairly regularly, and they bring their own flavor with it, which is really cool. Like, we need different, so we don't need the same. So
if you were to start again, Dan, what would you do differently? Would you do anything differently? Or are you very happy with how everything's turned out? Has it kind of gone to plan, as you've said?
Yeah, I think so. I can't think of anything that we'd do differently. And often people will say, oh, why don't you just employ someone to do this job or that job and make your life easier? But it's all about, like, making a profit at the end of the year. So like, people need to be paid. And so you could easily say, oh, let's have all these systems in place and all these extra things and get someone to do your marketing and all that kind of stuff. But we've been quite cottage industry. We've done a lot of it in-house, and we're quite a lean business, so we don't spend extravagantly, because we want to make a profit and we want people to get pay rises and we want to grow as a business. So no, I think I'm really happy and I'm really proud of what we've done, and that we have really good relationships, and that particularly that our staff are still together, which is amazing. So particularly Petra, Tristan, Luke and I, who started it together, like, that's really cool. And and at some point people might leave, and that's fine, but we don't want them to have a reason to leave. Like, we want them to leave because there's something better to go to, rather than because we're terrible to work with.
What would you say have been the biggest challenges over the years? I'm sure there have been a lot, but what would be the biggest ones for you? Biggest challenges you've faced?
Cool. That's a good question. I think one of the challenges is just sometimes the volume of people that we see. So we have to be really careful to protect our time, but there's also quite a demand to see lots of people in a day. So if you work in a football team, you might work with 3 or 4 players in a day and have loads of time with them. Here, we might be back to back for several hours. So that's a challenge, and that's a different way of working. So it took me a while to get used to that, and it still does sometimes. So my biggest challenge personally is headroom, like having space for extra things to happen. Mm-hmm. So trying to keep an eye on what's going on day to day. And we have people that help with that as well. And then also trying to be a good clinician as well. That's a challenge. Mm-hmm. But it's so then if something happens in your personal life as well and you haven't got much headroom, then it's quite easy to kind of spill over. And that's the thing I try and protect myself from. Yeah. But it's a battle.
Yeah. And what about coronavirus when the COVID hit? How did things change for us? And were you worried at any point?
Yeah, definitely worried. I think we were 2 years in at that point, which was good. If it had been earlier, it might have been more of a threat to the business. Mm. We were fortunate. So we employ everybody here. And because of the furlough scheme, we were able to furlough people. So some businesses like us wouldn't employ. They'd have people as contractors as a priority because they make more money out of those people. It's more expensive to be an employer. But we felt that to have people employed is better for the team and better for the customers that come. So it was almost like a bit of a blessing that we got rewarded for that sacrifice that we'd made and continue to make. It was hard. But thankfully, we kind of wanted to come out of it well, and we came out of it and went into a bigger building. So, yeah, we're fortunate.
Mm, yeah, we did well to get through it, I suppose, like everyone did. As a business, what would you say are GoPerform's key or core values? What makes GoPerform, or different to other places?
I don't know about different other places, but I think our biggest priority is making sure that we try and get the best outcome for everyone that comes through the door, for whatever their goal might be, whether it's an injury or performance-based goal. Mm. We think that our reputation is the most important thing. So doing a really good job and being really honest and really pragmatic and giving as much value as we can, because things cost money, right? And we don't just want to take people for granted. So that's probably the most important thing, like satisfaction of the person coming through. And trying to be classy. So like back in the day, it was like Man United were classy in the 90s. I don't know if they are now. Or British Airways. Or, you know, that kind of a brand where you're seen as like, yeah, honest, but high quality. That's kind of what we're after, really, and what we're trying to do and trying to be. And not having an ego as a practitioner, like asking for help, like being aware that we all make mistakes. It's great we have a big back office now because we can have great discussions about people that we're seeing or, you know, training programs, all those kind of things. So our core value is probably putting the patient or the athlete or the person that's coming in first and working back from that.
Mm. And how did you go about creating that kind of ideology or value system? Was it something you have to talk to staff members about? Is it something that just naturally happens and evolves? Or is it something you have to kind of make sure happens the way?
I don't know, Johnny. I mean, maybe ask you that. I think it was how we worked at Reading Football Club, to be honest. That's kind of, for me anyway, that's one of the things that inspired Luke and I. Like, we had a really, and Tristan, like, we had a good team that was really honest and accountable and no egos. I've worked at other clubs where it's not been like that. Mm-hmm. But to have that culture of being together and supporting each other, I think the core team that started with that, I think anyone that then comes in realises, oh, this is okay, I can make mistakes, I can be honest. And then they kind of reinforce. So you're now reinforcing those values to the next people that come through. We're always aware in the first 6 months of someone joining us that there's a bit of kind of getting, I don't know, how did you find the first 6 months? Was it odd or?
It took time to understand the way that you guys work. I think that's probably part of it. I think learning the values of GoPerform is a natural thing that you just learn from observing you, yourself, and Luke, Tristan, everyone else who works here, who already know and understand that value system. I think just being a part of that creates that kind of value structure. So I think it happens naturally.
Yeah, so we haven't deliberately kind of done a corporate thing where we've tried to come up with a document. We're almost a little, I can't speak for anyone else, but I'm a little bit anti-corporate stuff because I feel like sometimes you lose your soul when you come up with snappy corporate things. And it just looks a bit dead to me. Whereas I think, yeah, hopefully that kind of comes across in how we are. But yeah, I don't know. And also, like, because we've got this big building and there's lots of people training alongside each other, I want that sense of community as well. So one of our strap lines is belong, overcome, go perform. And we're really keen on people feeling like they belong here and that this is for them. So there might be some fancy bits on the wall and some bits on social media that look, you know, like elite athlete-y. But we want, you know, I had a guy this morning in his 70s with an Achilles injury. You know, I want everyone to feel like they can come here as a first point when they get injured or when they want to get a bit stronger. As you know, on our performance programs, lots of those people aren't GB athletes. They're just people that want to get healthier and, you know, look after themselves as they get older.
Just kind of on that line, Dan, so you kind of talked about the culture a little bit. That was where I wanted to go next. A lot of what our members saying, people who come to have treatment or see us for whatever we're offering, like our culture and find that one of the most inviting and welcoming things about training with us or having treatment with us. How do we drive that? What is it, do you think, we do as a team to create that culture? Again, is it similar to the value thing? Is it a natural thing? Is it something that we just do?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
So I think Tristan might put a thing on the board the other day, which is like, know their story, know their session. In other words, so this is for the people that train with us. Everyone's got a story as to why they're here, and we all need to know why they're here, what their story is, as a team. So even if I'm not taking a session, I still need to know the arc of someone's journey, because every journey looks different. And then know their session means have a plan. Know, before they come through the door, know what they've got to do and why they're here and what they're doing that day. So it's that thing of preparing to see somebody and not taking them for granted.
Yeah.
And I think in other environments, other gym environments, there's none of that. It's just you pay your membership, you get access to the room and you crack on. Whereas for us, people are on programs, aren't they? They're working towards something and we're a team supporting and facilitating that goal. So it's that thing of people being known, I think. And then I deliberately, and I'm sure you do too, try and introduce people to each other. And kind of say, oh, this is so-and-so and that's so-and-so. Because once you know a few people, it makes you feel much more welcome and kind of at home.
Yeah,
and our interns as well, like, are brilliant at that and kind of being the glue in between the gaps. And the guys that work, you know, at the front of house, like, in terms of trying to make people feel like they're at home and welcome, which is really cool.
It is good. So just moving on, Dan. So future Go Perform. What do you see the future of Go Perform looking like? If we fast forward 6 years from now, another 6 years, what do you think Go Perform would look like?
Yeah. I would love... So we have some brilliant staff and I'd love potentially another centre and to have some of the staff that are here potentially running or managing or overseeing. That would be really cool. But we need to be really careful how we do that. Potentially a little, like, there's some plans for some satellite stuff as well. So, like, some smaller Go Perform clinic-y bits that we're working on at the moment. But to be able to kind of be a shape that holds more stuff, essentially. So we're moving to this bigger building a year ago and it felt massive. Now it feels small, which is really cool. And our diaries are full and we haven't got much capacity for more stuff until more staff join. So I'd love another location, probably, within an hour or two of Reading, possibly. I think we're lucky where we are that we can, there's good population density and good kind of, there's enough people with enough money to be able to access our services. So it works really well in the south of England, I think. And I think people want good stuff. So people are intelligent and they want the best kind of care, like post-operative care, for example, or if they're training something, they want a structured training program, not just a random thing off Instagram. And I think that level of kind of attention to detail that we bring is really good. And there's lots, the other side as well is there's lots of people doing courses at university that need jobs. So I'd love us to be employing more people as well and creating opportunities and all those kind of things. So a bit like for me personally, Go Perform has become my career and I don't need to worry about other jobs, which is such a nice feeling. And I want that for more people as well.
That's great. How, this is similar to what you just said there, but how has Go Perform changed your life, Dan? So pre-Go Perform, where you're doing your other things, how has life changed for you now that you're running a business? It's running extremely well. You employ 19 staff. Obviously, it's still busy. Your diary's busy, obviously, as a director. You have to push the business forward. But how have things changed for you?
I think life changes for everyone, doesn't it, in each decade of your life. So I'm now in my 40s. My kids are like teenagers. So for example, when I was working in football, every weekend we'd be staying in a hotel, staying away and travelling. The other day I drove past a coach, a bus, on the motorway, and I thought that was me, you know, like I used to spend hours on the motorway. So I love now practically that I get to go home every night and have tea with my family potentially, or see my family at weekends and things on Saturdays, which is amazing. So that's really cool. I think I keep saying to my wife, like, I'll often refer to the patients that I see here as my friends, and then I have to kind of remember that they're my patients. But I feel like I've inherited a load of lovely people that I really enjoy working with. And I'm incredibly stimulated by the conversations and the journeys that people are on, which I really like. So it's, for someone that loves people, that's been really enriching and really brilliant. In terms of professionally, it's been a real challenge to take on more responsibility and to try and be a good supporter of the staff, really, and the people that work here. We don't really see ourselves as like bosses, I would say, me and Luke. I think it's more of a, as like supporters and trying to like create good structures and ways of working and stuff. But yeah, it's been really cool. It's been different. And yeah, just really enjoying it, which is cool.
Well, that'll round us off for today then. Yeah. Good conversation. Okay. That was a nice finish. Thank you for listening. If you do want to share it with anyone you know, please do share the podcast. But thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, Johnny.